just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite films. Here's your team of debauchery, lovely Lisa.
Robotic rats, anyone?
Sexy Scully.
Friendship is munching on a well-cooked face together. Ooh, it's raw. That's just gross.
Oh. And, of course, Crazy Carl.
You know, I really don't care how dumb your movie premise is. All I ask is that once you say what it is, you stick to it.
Let me guess, you're talking about the fact that the people who could not feel felt pretty deeply.
Yeah!
That drove me insane through this whole film. And
particularly
it really...
Bandit.
What?
Particularly Bandit.
Yeah, he was the worst. But, and I think there was a point to that they just couldn't quite make work.
Uh-huh. Now let's anyway. Start with what movie this is.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this week we are buffing Equilibrium, which, if I wasn't on the quotes page trying to find Scully a quote, I'd be able to tell you the premise. Here it is. In a fascist future where all forms of feeling are illegal, a man in charge of enforcing the law rises to overthrow the system. Uh-huh. Actually, I like the Netflix synopsis better.
Oh, yeah?
In a dystopian future, a totalitarian regime maintains peace by subduing the populace with an emotion-suppressing drug, and since offenders are punishable by death, when an enforcer skips a dose of the medication, it stirs him to desire a revolt.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
And I would like to point out that people who like this also like Terminator Salvation.
Awesome movie.
District 9.
Pretty decent movie.
Deep Impact.
Horrible movie.
Universal Soldier Regeneration.
Really horrible movie.
No Escape.
Never seen it.
Stars Ray Liotta. And Imposter.
Starring Gary Sinise.
Yeah.
Also never seen it. But Gary Sinise seems like a much better leading man than Ray Liotta.
Actually, there are only two on there that I had not heard of, let alone watched. And those were the last two.
Actually, Sean Bean seems like a better leading man than Ray Liotta. And let's face facts, he can't last a season. Oh. Anyways. Okay, so, like or dislike, Scully, were you wet or frigid for Equilibrium?
Frigid.
Okay, besides the weird laughter you just gave us, would you like to make any more comment on that?
We actually had an argument, my husband and I, as to whether or not this was a Matrix wannabe ripoff, or if it was out before all of that hub. Which completely distracted us from the movie for a good 15 minutes.
Did you come up with an answer? This is after the Matrix, isn't it?
Yes, it is after.
It's after the first one.
The first one, yep, which is what we determined is this particular movie was created just long enough after the first Matrix for it to respawn the other Matrix, you know, hub that had come up.
You're trying to say, I think you're trying to claim there was more than one Matrix movie.
Well, we're not getting
that's
into
right.
that philosophical
debate.
Yes. But
saying, this is not the philosophical debate of Matrix. No. This is Movies in the Buff.
No.
But, okay, so Lisa, wet or frigid for Equilibrium?
That depends on which part of the movie you're talking about.
Explain.
First 30, 35 minutes, I enjoyed it. I was very wet for this movie. After that...
Dried up quickly?
Yeah.
I could see that.
I damn near went to sleep, man.
I could see that. Alright, Carl, hard or flaccid for Equilibrium?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a simile that properly explains how completely flaccid I was for this movie.
Turtle?
Oh no, No, it goes beyond turtle.
He became a woman!
No, it goes beyond that. Like, seriously, this movie has now, you know, taken its place. And
you became an A-box?
Yeah, this movie has taken its place as, like, the bottom 10 of, you know, all movies we've ever buffed.
Oh, so you're telling me you became Kendall.
At the bottom?
Yeah, Ken dolls have more sexual, have more desire than I had.
Okay, there is no possible way that this movie was worse than, you know, the likes of Backyard Dogs or Crybaby.
Oh, I said it was in the bottom 10.
Oh, okay.
It's in the bottom 10 of film sack movies.
Yeah, I really honestly, as for my like or dislike, I honestly remember this movie being a lot better than it was. And I think the reason that is because when I watched this movie last time, I'm fairly certain I was around 14.
Oh, I could do it.
So, yeah.
And by the way, Scully, to address to you what this movie is to the Matrix. This is the Matrix and Fahrenheit 451 got together and had a demented, Down syndrome love child.
That's just insulting.
Yeah, okay, I apologize to Down syndrome children everywhere. That kind of was insulting.
I mean, this was just the, I don't know. It was a thing that shouldn't have happened, and yet it did.
I think that had the acting been better, especially from Taye Diggs, I think that this movie could have been pulled off. I love the concept.
Like, they could have done better with the concept.
Yeah, I love the idea of the movie.
The concept for this movie is... It's okay when you think about it on the surface. Like, I get the concept of this movie. Like I said, I don't care how bad your premise is. And this, just stating the premise, it's not half bad.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't pull it off in the writing. They couldn't pull it off in the acting. And because it keeps failing on all of these levels, I kept having to think about the premise entirely too much, and once you think about the premise entirely too much, you realize that you can't have a human society that does not have emotions. It doesn't work.
Like, yeah, I got to thinking about that.
You think about it too much.
And well, movies you're not supposed to think on.
Yeah, and that's kind of the point of the movie, but ultimately when you watch this, and I was okay with it, about halfway through the movie, I'm thinking about how bad the acting is in this, and how bad all of this is going on, and then halfway through the movie, I stop and think, this is just a freaking action movie. Like, I'm thinking way too hard about this. This is for you to see a bunch of people do flashy choreography and blow people up.
Yeah.
And raid yard sales everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, yard sales across the nation were so happy when this movie came out, because I swear to God.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the shit in those places.
And again, it would work as that, Rod, if it would stick to being an action movie, but it doesn't. It forces you to spend entirely too much time thinking about a bad premise.
Yeah, I could kind of
that they're not pulling off, or that they're not sticking to.
And one thing I will give this film, and although we've completely skipped over the round table.
Who would you do?
Yeah. But one thing I will give this film is the choreography, as impractical as it is, was incredibly flashy, and it looked good.
All right. So let's do.
All right. So who would you do, Carl? Who would you do?
Through lack of any better options, I'm gonna go with Mary O'Brien because you know they didn't give us any option.
Well, he had Preston's wife.
Well, yeah.
I'm gonna have to go with you.
Significantly prettier, in my opinion, but that's okay.
I kind of like
him. Significantly prettier, but you got no feel for her personality whatsoever.
She lasted like 3 seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
She lasted long enough for the flashbacks.
Oh my lord, look at
the flashback. There's only one where you see her.
Yeah. Look at all of like the things that she's been in. Her resume is entirely Italian.
She didn't have to say anything.
And she sounds like a mob. When you look at her name, it looks like the name of a mob boss's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Join the show.
So,
and drink one-star reviews from, you know, Irish people, Italian people everywhere.
Italian people everywhere, yeah. Speaking of Italian people, I forgot to say this. The show being dedicated to James Gandolfini's memory.
Yeah. Died today at the age of 51.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
And you may remember James Gandolfini from shows like The Sopranos and Fallen in the Buff.
Yeah.
Where he received the Porn Stash Award for the ugliest mustache wig I've ever seen in my life. But we love you, James, and
we will definitely
prayers are with the family. But moving on.
Especially his infant child.
Yeah, I know.
You realize that he had a kid born in October?
It's messed up. But you know what? I'm gonna just move straight into Lisa. Who would you do? I know that's a weird transition, but
Christian Bale's character.
Preston.
Yeah, I can Why never remember Preston? His name. Did you see the entrance he made in the first room? Do I really need to go
jumped
in further?
On a door and then made a swastika with his arms.
Yes.
They had a
and
dark
I'd probably
room.
Say the same like, thing about you if you would actually do something like that. Probably not. This is fraud.
It started sounding more like you were just bitching at him. Like, dude, you don't do the laundry, you don't take out the trash. I'd find you attractive if you just plain freaking clean the bathroom.
No, that would be Carl.
Hey, now.
Carl, I think we should just, like, end the call now, pick it back up, and have movies in the buff guy's point of view tonight.
Nah.
Anyways. All right, so.
Scully.
All right, Scully, who would you do?
Seamus.
See, I knew you were going to say that. I knew. And for some reason, I see you having this huge crush on Dominic Purcell.
And I'm trying to figure out who he was in this movie.
He was the rebel leader in the first thing that they took out.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Partridge was a really close second. Really close second. But
yeah.
Really?
Kind of old for my taste.
Yeah,
and he looked, he really, like, especially in this, looked really scruffy. I don't know what it was, but he looked really scruffy.
And besides, Scully, you really, you can't say that you would do Sean Bean because that's a snuff film waiting to happen.
I know. That's also something that just would allude to daddy issues. And,
yeah, well, and like I say, the worst thing about the thought of having sex with Sean Bean is you know he's going to die before he comes. Probably before you do.
Ouch. So just to point this out, Scully, I know how you have a thing for James Bond, and although Sean Bean has never played 007, he did play 006 or 008.
004, dude.
No, he wasn't 004.
I thought he was 004.
It was either 006 or 008. I don't remember, but it was one of the two.
Drink! Yeah. We're just running off down a tangent.
Yeah. All right, so, and as far as who I would do, you know what? As far as just sheer personality, I've got to go with Partridge.
Partridge?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a chick, obviously, and if I was going to pick the prettiest person in this film, it would have to be Brand, but that's beside the point. Yeah, just I loved Partridge's personality. I loved the early stage of John Preston without all the, you know, whininess. It's like, yeah, I'm going to die, but I'm going to die happy.
I'm impressed after we talked about snuff films and...
Yeah,
and...
I know. But still.
You still went for it.
Yeah, I mean, I loved his personality. He was, of all the characters in this, he made the most sense. And that's possibly because he was the best actor in the entire movie.
Rod?
Huh?
What Bond movie are you thinking that Sean Bean was in?
GoldenEye.
It's not in... Oh, there he is. Yeah. Okay.
It's
I just
in
out
his known force.
I didn't see it up there. Oh yeah, there it is. Okay.
Jeez.
They have him listed by name, not by number.
I know.
So that was where I had the problem with it.
Okay, so round table. First scene of the movie, you have the sense offenders. Well, no, you have the horrible voiceover. Explain every little bit because I'm too shitty of a writer to write it in the story.
And yes. All of the shots from World War II. There was Hiroshima and London bombing. A lot of London bombing scenes.
Yeah, they used a lot of World War II shit. World War II video talking about World War III.
Yeah.
And then you see, was it Stalin?
And Hussein.
And Hussein.
Awesome. I was like, there you go, dude. You apparently have just made it on the evil baby orphanage right
006.
There. You're done.
Yeah, I just looked him up on Wiki. It was 006.
Alright.
Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so after the voiceover and the bad historical shots, that ensured that no Jew ever will watch this film.
Or Muslim.
Or Muslim.
If I didn't have to watch it, I would have turned it off.
Yeah.
Anyway, after that, you have the raid on the sense offenders. Mm-hmm. And the nifty-looking, weird, angled, dislocating my arms, triple-jointed BS with a gun.
The gun caught us?
Yeah, I hate this, and I'll tell you why I hate this, and I'm going to go right back into this in my rant.
After he tends
sorry, down. I have a upset child.
He said, I had to watch that damn movie with you.
Actually, he didn't watch it with me.
That's exactly what's wrong.
Well, I'll tell you why I hate this, okay? The gun kata
created
a weird, like, subsect of LARPers that thought that this was an actual usable martial art. And I'm sorry to say, aside from some really nice CQC techniques that are in most military manuals that work around the gun, there is no gun, no martial art based on guns. It's all for show, and it's all in the movies, people.
But
it drives me insane.
I do like how it looks.
It looks nice, and it's pretty, but it can't be used in a real fight.
Oh, and there are places. This fight is not the one where that's egregious, though. The egregious ones come later.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. But even in this one, I mean, yeah, you could do the math and figure out, you know, common trajectories and things like that, but there's an X factor that you can never solve.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, it drives me nuts. And then, of course, they kill everybody.
He kills everybody.
Yeah.
In the longest black scene I've ever seen in a movie, I swear to God, I thought it was over.
Yeah.
I was like, there's nothing happening. This shit. Did my
I thought my computer froze up, or I got the black exactly. screen of death.
Seeing as how I've seen this movie.
I hear something. I'm like, what is that?
Seeing as how I've seen this movie once before and knew that this part was coming up, I actually thought to myself right before he ran and jumped through the door, you're not afraid of the dark, are you?
Drake!
Yeah, I actually did, though.
My computer had froze up during this, where the guns are firing before they enter the building. And so I thought, damn, it froze up again. I really am going to throw my computer out the frickin' window.
See, I thought Netflix had just froze, so I was streaming it.
Oh, and poor Lisa, you know, had to watch this movie yesterday, and Netflix was having problems with their servers yesterday. So so this movie wouldn't play, and she ended up having to watch it on Hulu.
Ouch.
Yeah. Anyway, yes, we have the Hi Ireland.
Drink
we
again.
We have the big gunfight, mm-hmm. and then we get to see them burn the Mona Lisa. And
yeah.
out of curiosity,
oh my God, that is not how oil on canvas burns.
Yeah, but
no,
out of curiosity. What purpose exactly, or what was the purpose exactly behind checking to see if it was real first?
Because there are a boatload of fakes out there. Do you have
any idea?
Yes, but
they're not burning it because it's the Mona Lisa. They're burning it because it's a painting that evokes emotion. So it doesn't matter if it's a fake or not.
Well, they just got the original. Which is supposedly the equivalent of saying, yay, we finally got the worst of the worst of the offenders. We've just downed all hope.
I don't get that.
I don't really care, because they were all fakes, and they were all oil on canvas, and there was not a painting in here that was not from the Renaissance era.
Mm-hmm.
They were all oil on canvas, nothing, like, there was fruits, flowers, naked bodies.
Yep.
I was like, all right, this is getting pretty boring. Do you not have another sense of art?
Well, I mean, and you've got to think about the general masses, and what they perceive as art is almost always comes from the Renaissance era. And that's who this movie is playing to at that point.
I just think that's a fault in... I just think that... I see that as a fault in the writing. Because really, for the purposes of the clerics, it doesn't matter whether it's real or not.
No, you're absolutely right. I think what the writers are thinking is the audience needs to know that they're burning the original for a dramatic effect. And
it doesn't help.
It's supposed to offend and heartbreak the people watching it, which is hilarious because the Mona Lisa, not that big.
Yeah, and
original. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, and also, you know, whether you know it's real or not doesn't make any effect in how this movie impacts you, I don't think.
No, it doesn't, and especially not now that the audiences have been desensitized by, you know, doomsday movies and things like that hadn't happened before this came out.
Yeah, and let's face it, if you're a U.S. citizen after September 11, you're like, yeah, dude, bring it.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely.
You really can't phase us anymore, which is kind of harsh on movies, because now in order to make a point, they have to try really hard.
They really go too far a lot of times.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is what it is. Moving on, you have the conversation in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand the context of this, and the whole time I'm watching it, maybe it's just me, I've not been in this emotional point, but why does him asking it as a question, as if he just doesn't understand what he's saying, face the situation? Like, that didn't make sense to me. It was supposed to mean something, and it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't to me either.
Can anybody
else? Are you talking about the "it does" question?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. I did notice that before he took his shot, he asked the question. And after he took his shot, he changed it to, "it does." No question.
Yeah, but why is that? I mean, I get what they were trying to go for.
It didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I thought he said it twice.
He does. He asked it as a question, and then he says it as a statement.
I don't know. At this point, I already knew that they were trying to ram a story plot down your throat because the expression he gave at the very beginning before he goes in and he kills all the people was this look at him like, you murderer, you just sick psychopath kind of look. Like,
yeah, and
I can't believe I know what you're about to do. And then at this point, I was like, oh, you're just trying to jab the point that he's not with them. Gotcha.
And this is the point also at which it becomes, you know, blatantly obvious that this is somebody's attempt to knock off Fahrenheit 451 badly.
Yeah. Having never seen that, I don't really get that, but
you are not familiar with Fahrenheit 451?
Vaguely.
Not as a movie, but as literature.
I have been told of the concept. I don't remember much because I never read it.
If you've read any of the dystopian fictions, you have a fantastic grasp on this movie.
No, absolutely.
But this one specifically is going after 451, and it's failing miserably. And I'll even say, you know, here on the air, that 451 is not all that great.
We just lost a lot of cult followers right there. Anyway.
But anyway, so they get out of the car. He says he's taking the book in to get checked in, which is just so dumb that he doesn't even, like, pick up on this at this point. You're thinking Preston's a complete dumbass. He's supposed to be intuitive, but he can't see freaking signs that are neon pointing. He's feeling something.
It also becomes apparent that, you know, he doesn't see it in people that are close to him. His partner, his wife.
His kids.
His kids.
His daughter, who's a dead giveaway, and his son, who gives a dead giveaway later on in the movie.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I was spaced out at that point. Which one are you talking about?
The first time he comes in, he says John and asks him a question. The second time was when he was in the bedroom of the kids, looking at the kids' dosage of the drug, and he asks him what he's doing. He says nothing, just checking, and he goes, "Okay, good night, Dad." He says, "Dad." They never call him Dad or Father or anything. They always call each other by their names. I was like, and he hasn't been taking it.
I guess I completely spaced out.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he hadn't been taking it. I caught the first name the first time he said it. And then the next time you see the kid, And he says, just checking. Okay, Dad. Didn't even dawn on me.
Okay, so now we need to get to the greatest acted scene in this entire film.
The death of
Sean Bean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
That was awesome.
That was actually well
acted. Because Sean Bean can die. That's what Sean Bean can do.
And Sean Bean can act.
He really can. Yeah. He is an
Which
awesome
was really
actor.
Rough, because from this point on, like, it had... There's only one other person who was even remotely good at acting, and even then it was kind of tough. Brandt was too enthusiastic, too much emotion. He was right there with friggin' Preston. Like,
yeah, which that was trying to say something, they just said it a little too hard. Like, they were trying to make it believable that he could be the sense offender at the end. Mm-hmm. And they just, like I said, they just made it too hard.
Yeah.
And then there's, you know, DuPont, who, you know, also is displaying way too much friggin' emotion.
I get the feeling that DuPont doesn't take the drug.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the concept behind him.
Yeah, and I think that becomes apparent when you see his other office.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, because there's big two giant Renaissance arts there, and it's all elaborate and shit. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, Bandit is, you know, Bandit is constantly displaying emotion throughout the whole time he's here.
Yeah.
Which was just...
Which one is Bandit again?
The black guy.
His new partner. So he shoots his original partner.
He shoots him right in the head, through the book.
Yep.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden his new partner is there.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it next day?
No, he's standing in the church.
He took him with
him. Oh, yes, that's right.
He took him with him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Well, may I point out that Sean Bean did Fellowship of the Ring before this movie?
Yeah.
And the Two Towers.
Yeah.
Nice.
But okay. I will say that smiles are a form of emotion.
Well, smiles aren't emotion, but they are ways of conveying emotion.
Well, so was when the little boy told his sister to stop playing with her food. That was annoyance. That was clear annoyance.
Oh, yeah.
I was ooh, boredom and annoyance.
Yep.
The only two emotions I know siblings to really have other than anger at each other.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's emotion all over this. He laughs when he says that he dropped his dosage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he says that, you know, he took it out before he brushed his teeth, he laughs. You know, obviously, Brandt is constantly getting excited about everything that ever happens in his entire life.
Yeah.
That is really bothers me.
That is an excitable man. He's really happy. He's like, hey, you didn't have to wait in line.
Oh, and who loved the fact that they couldn't be bothered, that the guy who wrote this and directed this, by the way, couldn't be bothered to come up with a better name than to rip off Prozac?
Oh, well, hi. If you know anybody on antidepressants, they all kind of act like that, actually.
Yeah, I know, but...
They're not completely emotionless, but, that's kind of how they are.
But seriously, he couldn't come up with a better name for his futuristic anti-emotion drug than to rip off Prozac.
What was the name of the drug? I'm trying to remember its father.
It did start with a P.
Yeah, it was Pro-something.
Prozium.
Prozium, yeah.
Prozium.
Okay. Seriously.
Right.
It's like we switched this just enough to keep from getting sued by the guys that make Prozac.
I think he's just angry at Prozac. He's trying to make a statement. Making an entire statement about how Prozac ruined his life.
Is getting angry at Prozac redundant? I mean, when you think about that. Anyways, okay, so then, you know, he goes and he picks him up at Equilibrium.
Yep.
With a motorcade. Correct me.
No, in the motorcade.
Was a motorcade that pulled up.
Yeah, there was a motorcade that pulled up.
You're right. There was.
Oh, that's right, because they were on their way to go hit another
to go kill some dogs for the love of.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Okay,
are we just trying to alienate everyone in this movie?
Why the hell would you shoot a dog?
And I do love Brandt's question here. When he's trying to figure out why sense offenders would keep dogs.
Yes.
Do they eat them?
Do they eat them?
I had to shudder at that point.
Well, I had to laugh so hard. I was like, so were all the women and children you just shot Asian by any chance?
Wow.
Oh, one star review. Drink.
You know what the actual thought that came to my mind was? Of course, dog is a fine meal.
Drink.
It is. It's a meal in so many other countries. In other countries, they don't eat them just because they're trash. They eat everything, so you clearly don't eat them, because that would be disgusting, considering what you watch them eat. But, yeah, I was just like, that's not an odd question. They eat dog in tons of other countries now.
Oh.
So, anyways.
There was another thing I noticed, and I'm backing up a little bit, but did anybody else notice when, in the scene where Sean Bean dies, did anybody else notice that he is flipping through that book backwards?
I did notice that.
But it's a poetry book, so you can really go in any direction in that.
Yeah, good point.
I have a Robert Frost book. I'm not exaggerating. I open it up randomly and will flip through it in any direction. It doesn't matter. They don't put them really in any order, I guess. Nothing you really want to read it in.
Only Christian Bale had been offered the role of Preston. However, 200 people interviewed for the role of Partridge, and filming had already started when they brought in Sean Bean.
It's like, seriously, you've got a guy who dies in the first three scenes of this movie, and you don't want to cast Sean, and it takes you forever to figure out, hey, Sean Bean?
Well, at this point, I mean, he was just starting to get known as the man Hollywood loved to kill.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, the flickering electricity, but the gas lamp. What?
Yeah. Well, anyway, moving on. You have the next raid and the dogs. And I do want to point out the fact that they could not show the dogs being shot because there was no way in that time to get around PETA. Mm-mm. So, they couldn't show the dogs being shot, but they could show him picking up a puppy.
Yep.
So cute.
Which needs to be tested randomly for no given reason.
No, he gave a reason.
Yeah.
If there is an outbreak in the Nethers, we need to know about it.
Yes, because that was something...
It's a bad reason, but...
it was... To us, it was a bad reason.
It is put
in the frame of thought of them. I get it.
It is painfully obvious that this man sucks at lying.
Oh, yeah.
Painfully.
Really bad.
And I can lie better than that.
Well, you know what I thought of at this point? There was a movie that came out much later called The Invention of Lying. And it was a really, really good British comedy.
Oh, my God. I remember that movie.
it was hilarious.
It was awesome. Yes.
he writes the Ten Commandments on a pizza box. And all, it was great. But I thought about that at this point, and I'm thinking, you know, if you're in a world where no one feels and someone feels... How you really go about that? Mm-hmm. You know, take away the whole concept of it being illegal. Like, accept that no one can feel and then someone starts doing it. And that would have made a much better movie. Of course, it also might have made a rom-com.
Still terrible.
Anyway.
Moving on from the dogs. Because I actually don't remember what happens between when he picks up the puppy and when he's got to drop it off again.
Well, real quick, the noises that the dog made,
mm-hmm.
apparently were actually done by an actor who specializes in dog impersonations.
Yes.
That's interesting.
I would believe that.
Only because that particular breed of dog does not make that noise. If you've ever had to put up with that dog,
Yeah. So anyway, he goes back into town with the dog in his trunk. I forget what he does while he's in town. And then he goes back to the Nether.
He leaves the dog in the trunk, and amazingly enough, the dog has not peed all over the trunk.
I know.
Yeah.
That trunk open up, dog sitting perfectly square in the center of it, and not a pee puddle anywhere. You know something wrong was going on.
Like, that dog couldn't have been there more than 30 seconds. Didn't he go to talk to his boss?
He goes to
drop the dog off?
I can't remember.
I don't remember at all. Like, that's going to bug all of us now, because it's...
There's a big gap in
not
time.
Enough
is, there's a huge gap in this movie.
Not enough to go watch it again.
Yeah. Well, okay, so the kendo scene later on, I just saw this. It was bugging the crap out of me, because I couldn't figure out what kind of practice swords those were. Like, I'd never seen them before, right?
Batons?
They were created specifically for this movie. Like, they didn't exist prior to this movie. What they were is they were a type of wood that would break easy because Christian Bale and Taye Diggs kept hitting each other with them. So that way they would break away.
There's something here in the trivia that I didn't notice watching it. I'm wondering if you guys did. Hmm. Apparently the muzzle flashes, from the guns of the clerics and the guards occasionally showed the tetragrammaton insignia. Did anybody notice that?
Oh, not at all.
No.
I was just irritated at the flashes. Like, stop it. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. That doesn't happen.
Stop, you're going to give me a headache.
Stop it. That's
okay, annoying. Here's the answer to your question, Carl. Not that question, but your prosium thing. Uh-huh. Originally, the drug prosium was named Librium, hence the term people of Libria, as often referred to throughout the film. However, Librium turns out to be a registered trade name for an anti-anxiety drug. I'm not going to try to pronounce the drug, but the name was quickly changed to Prozium, a sly combination of Prozac and Valium, which both have calming effects. Yeah, it's bad. But anyway, okay, so moving on through the story, he releases the puppy. What?
The drug name is chlorazodipoxide.
Thank you. I wasn't going to try to pronounce it.
Actually, does he free... He doesn't... free the puppy. He kills a bunch of people and then...
No, he tries to free the puppy. He sits the puppy down at his trunk, goes in, on the ground, outside the trunk, goes and sits in his car, starts it, the puppy makes a whining noise, and he gets out and puts him back in the trunk on top of his coat.
Yep. Puppy miraculously makes noise without opening its mouth.
Yeah.
Eye roll.
Yeah.
Anyways... So then he gets busted, and there's this entire conversation where he's like, I'm a Grammaton cleric, and you will listen to me. You will show your identification. I don't need to. I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
Moving on.
At this point, I'm like, did this argument just end?
I don't want to see the fight scene.
At this point, I'm like, somebody shoot somebody.
Please.
Yeah.
Stab something, blow something up, I don't care. Just do something.
If you're going to make an action movie, make an action movie and let's start blowing some crap up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anyway, so they find the puppy, they fight, he kills them. Strange thing, though, and we kind of skipped over this, he gets the gun from Brandt earlier to... because Brandt gave him his gun to shoot the sense offenders.
No, that's later.
Oh, it was earlier.
No, it was earlier.
Oh, was it?
Because that's what he gets busted for later.
Okay.
Yeah. But did anybody see him actually switch guns?
No.
No.
Exactly. I didn't see it either. Which, when he first mentioned, no, that's your gun that shot, for lack of a better term, cops, I'm thinking, how?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't care enough to
bother. I really didn't either.
I was trying to think my way through an action movie.
You're trying to think your way through a bad movie.
I was bored.
She was thinking too hard. It's like, I gotta do something.
Yep.
Right, so puppy thing, he gets home. I don't even remember the rest.
Oh.
Something about Mary.
I think it's a dream.
Interesting note, remember the big raid where he actually tries to help the guys escape and ends up pistol whipping the guards?
Uh-huh.
Well, you remember when he's trying to convince them to leave and then finally he's just like, fine, come with me. They're watching two other cops push a guy up against a pillar and execute him?
Yes.
That guy is the director and writer of this movie. Nice. And please, why could those not have been real bullets?
It was a really nice shot scene, though, like of them shooting somebody. I was like, actually, that was pretty cool to watch. That was pretty nice.
And interestingly, the pistol butt fight with the cops in this same scene took them like 30 minutes to film.
Really? That was it?
That was it.
Wow. Just stand there and take it, I guess.
Alright, I really don't even know. Like, we're sort of blowing through this because there really was no particular plot until after all of this happened and he starts, like, having an affair-ish with the Mary girl, although nothing happens.
Yeah. Although you find out that she was sleeping with
his ex-partner.
Yeah, he's wearing altogether too much.
Where did you find that?
He says it.
He actually went through the guy's personal effects found a picture of the two of them.
Gotcha. Is it Freedom on the back of it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which was how he got to the
library.
I guess that was like a news office or something.
No, I thought it was a library. Like, because he said you can read the manifesto.
Yeah.
Well, no, because they had copies of the manifesto there. And although he was sort of teaching, I guess, from when you walked in, there was sort of an education.
Weird. Yeah. I have no idea what that was.
That's all right. It was a bunch of paper. And then the big giant door that says, please shoot me.
Yeah.
There's something behind me.
Yeah.
Might as well just say it. And then underground looked actually kind of Joss Whedon-y, almost. Like, it reminded me.
I could see that.
Yeah, I could too.
It was that sort of dirty, but very eclectic, I guess. I couldn't put a finger on it.
Yeah. And we meet the leader of the resistance, who tells him that, yeah, you kind of got to learn some self-control, dude, or you're going to end up dead.
Oh, wow.
Jurgen, that was his name.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I just read this.
Hand lotion. That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Wow. Hand lotion, dude. Okay, so the leader of the resistance is hand lotion.
That was
that one. Nice. Actually, that makes sense.
No, seriously, I mean, we got it's got to be him, because, you know, he's got to look at Christian Bale and go, talk about the wrong stuff.
No, in all seriousness, it makes sense, because we're talking about the leader of a resistance based on feeling.
So we get the guy who never has any emotions.
So anyway, apparently Tetragrammaton translates
is the word for Yahweh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, word with four letters. Used in Judaism, reference God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I did know that. And I was curious as to why they ended up using that for their police force, but it never really...
Yeah, it never explained it at all.
No. And that's the problem, is so much of this is unexplained or badly explained or... a combination of the two.
Okay, can we move on to the kid now?
What about the kid?
The fact that we find out the kid hasn't been taking his meds either?
Yeah, since mom, how he put it.
Kind of did like that. I realized that it was apparent, but, you know, there's so many people in here that are supposed to be on the drug that are having emotions anyway that, you know, I never really paid attention. So I kind of liked the fact that the kid tells the dad that, you know, neither of us have been taking it.
Ooh, what's that buzz?
Whoa. I don't know.
That's me. I'm not sure how that happened, but... Okay, so apparently John Preston kills 118 characters in this movie, which makes him responsible for exactly half of the total 236 deaths shown. As of 2009, he continues to hold third place for most deaths in a movie caused by one character.
Nice.
Really?
Yes. There is.
It's the very last part on the trivia.
No, does it say who leads?
No, although now I'm very, very curious.
Yeah.
Drink tangent.
Yeah, kind of. Alrighty.
Kid hasn't been taking it. Gotta hide your drugs better, dude.
Yeah.
He really does.
Yeah, no kidding. Ends up finally getting to see quote-unquote father, who has been, like, the overlord of this entire place.
Oh, yeah, and delivering speeches. Because, you know, That's something that you do when your entire civilization is taking a drug to make them unable to feel, is you deliver speeches.
Right? The same speech. The same speech. Over and over again.
Yeah. But he's seriously, I mean, he's you see him at the very beginning of this movie, he's giving a speech, and a really rousing speech, and he gets applause.
And he gives the same speech again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And again. He gets the same, yeah.
He's still giving that speech at the end of the movie, when things really do start finally blowing up.
Okay, this is going to take me forever.
Yeah.
To find.
It's not important enough.
No, but anyway, so now we get the, we get the big fights between Preston and.
No, you have to find out. You have to give what starts this. They put him on an emotion detector.
Yeah, even before that, he gets arrested.
Yeah, he gets arrested by Brandt.
And then, completely flips it so that Brandt takes the blame.
Uh-huh.
Which ends up being a trick.
And then he turns the underground in so that he can get his meeting with Father. And they come and hook him up to the polygraph.
Another thing that you can easily, trick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got it. Right now, the most deaths is held in a Japanese film that I don't even care about. And an American film is a movie called Shoot 'Em Up, held by Smith, played by Clive Owen.
Huh.
And then, of course, after that, you have John Preston. And just under him is Topper Harley from Hot Shots Part 2.
Nice.
So, yeah. Interesting body count there.
Clive Owen holds the title for most for most people killed by a single person in a movie.
In an
American movie, yeah.
Entitled Shoot 'Em Up. That should explain a lot. Entitled Shoot 'Em Up,
yeah.
Yeah.
On top of that is a movie called Lone Wolf Club, White Heaven and Hell, held by Ogami Ito.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, okay. So, that solves that problem for me.
Yep. And now we get the big fight scenes. Well, we get to see Christian Bale go after people with swords.
Now you get the great polygraph scene, which is another one of the best acted scenes in this movie.
Yeah, not bad.
Huh?
Not bad. I did like the dialogue and
exactly.
Part of this.
Yeah. Especially when the polygraph goes off the charts.
I also like the fact when, at the end, I don't remember what question it was that he said or statement or whatever it was, but at the end, you look at it just before he goes off and you see all the lines across it going nuts, and then straight line, like a heartbeat monitor that died. And that's when one of them goes, oh shit.
It frightens me that most of the movies on this list we fucked. Sorry, but we have. And I've seen almost all of them. Anyway. Okay. All right.
Really cool fight scene.
Cool fight scene. Second to final fight scene, where, he finds Brandt and decides that he's going to get back at him and he's going to take his face off.
Yes.
He's going to take his face off.
No more drugs for that man.
It was really bad effects.
How horribly close that really is. It was very underworld. It was very cheap
I think was the beginning of that. God, it's almost a trope at this point, because you've got it in Underworld, you got the weird body fall apart thing in Resident Evil.
Oh, but that was so awesome.
For some reason, I kept thinking of RoboCop when the guy melted.
That's not as cool as slicing somebody so cleanly that apparently it takes 40 seconds for their body to fall apart. Look, I know they did experiments during the French Revolution as to how long the human body head can live. Can last severed from the body, and it's 23 seconds, but
that was a little pushing it a little. The guy falls to his knees, turns his head, and then his face melts off. It's like, what the?
Yeah.
No, it was more like It melted, then it fell. It was just slow motion.
No, it didn't melt. It fell. He'd sliced straight across the guy's face, so it just slid off.
I we're overanalyzing something that was probably the worst animation in the entire movie.
Yeah, they did. It's
yeah.
Literally the worst. Yep. Oh, next section? Well, crap, I can't do... I have to wait till after he's killed father, who... Oh, wait, Shock is his boss.
Yeah, because father died a long time ago.
And when the hell did his boss become so good at fighting, considering...
When the hell did he have time?
Well, yeah. we assume that his boss used to be a cleric and then became his boss.
Yes, but if you don't practice, you get a little rusty.
Yeah.
Because he died.
That fight scene made me think Matrix more than any place else in this movie.
Yeah. Well, the whole movie did. But actually, the most obnoxious part, the thing that actually got, like, complete yelling in this household, was when he's going through and shooting...
Oh, the monitors? Yes.
Shooting the monitors, and the monitors are thus putting fail, you know, you shoot one monitor, and a blimp goes down in one area, like it's no longer showing, you shoot another monitor, and then a wall goes down in another area. Yeah. We're like, no, oh for the love of God, no, what the fuck, no, no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, even I caught that one, and I'm not computer savvy at all.
It's like, no.
No, 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 no. You don't shoot the monitors to make things go down. You shoot the towers.
Yeah, and there should only be one computer running all of those screens.
I know. Even if you have
them from a central spot.
You could have a couple blades and maybe a couple servers, but you'd think they'd be smart enough to have a failover system, because let's face it, if you got to do maintenance on father, you might want to back up somewhere. It's not like he's going to come back.
God.
He died years ago.
Sorry, I'm using that as I'm using that the tagline.
Come on, father.
Write it down so you don't forget it.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Seriously, that was so irritating. Yes, shoot monitors and miraculously, you know, other screens are going to go down in other areas. That's just idiotic. Dear God. And then it was very conquering of a nation. So, like,
yes.
I was like, how is this not starting the same problem all over again, where now John Preston is clearly taken over? It's like king trying to beat out the previous ruler so that you can take his crown. How is this not a dictatorship?
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't see it getting any better. Like,
yeah,
seen them,
it's that was, still kind of terrible.
It was very terrible. Pathetic. There was just no explanation. Like, all right, cool. What do you think you're going to do now? Rule it? Because clearly that's your impression by standing behind his desk in a completely different room than you were just in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can we finish it now?
Yeah.
Yes, please. I'm done.
Mm.
I went to sleep sometime around the time they started playing the classical music. That's about where I got bored. They started playing the classical music. I get up, start, and walk over to talk to Carl. Carl looks at me and says, is the movie done yet already? No. I had to stand up.
It was still the best music out of the entire play.
It was just that the scenery was that bad.
Oh my God, yeah. How many of those places looked like some trashed grandmother's corner room?
Ugh. Yeah, not even a corner room in my grandmother's house.
I know. Like I said, yard sales everywhere, rejoice. Because they're going to buy.
I'm looking at this thinking, that looks like my grandmother's whole house. Except there's better music playing. Okay, I'm done. I'm going to go walking around my house.
Yep.
You guys know what makes me feel the best about this movie?
It ended?
The knowledge that it cost them $20 million to make, and worldwide they grossed $5.3
million. Oh, no wonder it took a while for Christian Bale to come into something else after that.
Oh.
Sorry, but...
I don't know. What was the next thing he did after this? Kind of curious now. See, that 2002. Oh, no, he did Reign of Fire. He did The Machinist 2 years later.
2 years.
But then he did.
A long time for an actor.
But then he did three movies, all that came out in 2002. He did Laurel Canyon, Reign of Fire, and Equilibrium, all three in the same year.
Equilibrium, clearly not the moneymaker for him.
No.
No.
And then he did The Machinist and Howl's Moving Castle, which was an animated movie, both in the same year, both in 2004.
2005 was a big year for him. He did all of the, well, all of that. He did the Batman Begins, as well as the video game, and then Harsh Times, and The New World.
Yeah.
So, and yeah. Batman Begins would have taken up a lot of his time.
Yeah, he does, you know, it's not so much just that he, you know, does stuff. He will do several things every year. Like, the only year I see here, the only year since 2000, he did Captain Corelli's Mandolin. That was the only thing he did in 2001. Every other year, he's got, like, more than one thing since the, you know, since 1998. But.
Yeah, that's.
Hell, he's got four in post-production right now to come out this year.
Okay, I'm back. Did we actually have to cut?
No, we're done.
Good. Sorry about that. Unfortunately, people, I've got a 2-year-old who is not only potty training, but is not feeling the best. So, if it may happen again. Anyway, okay, so where were we at?
We finished the movie.
Yeah. We finished the movie. Excellent.
Finally.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that this movie grossed worldwide 1/4 of what it cost to make.
Yeah, it was not the best gamble in the world.
Yeah, and Christian Bale apparently spent, you know, 2 years before he released another movie.
Nice.
It was brave.
Okay, so moving on into, let's do buff quotes. So, Carl, would you like to do your quote?
Oh, shit, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him!
Please, don't miss.
All right, Scully, that earns you the right to hear quotes.
But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams.
Yes, this movie does definitely did do that.
As a film quote?
No, technically it's a poem.
That's what I was thinking. That doesn't count as a film quote.
Let's face it.
Well, they say that later. They say that. Part of that quote, that line later.
Yeah, don't tread on my dreams.
For okay. no apparent reason, but don't get me drawn back into the round table.
Yeah, Lisa?
You really should learn to knock.
That legitimately good line in this movie. There's so few of them.
Okay, and as for my quote, and honestly, it was hard to find quotes in this movie.
Oh god, yes.
As for my quote, I've got mankind united with infinitely greater purpose in pursuit of war than in pursuit of peace. Which, I don't know, I like that as a quote by itself, but in context with the movie, I didn't like the way that they used it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, I get that.
But I do love that quote by itself. Okay, so into Best Buffed. Scully, start us.
Actually, the well, one of the few. William Fichtner, you have a West Wing Walk-In Award.
Drink!
Oh, do we have a Whedonverse tie-in? We don't, do we?
Did I see off the top of my head? No.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody. Everybody else was very movie-related, and a couple of them did TV series, but not many. And then I have another one that is Llamas with Hats for the face.
For the what?
For the face. This seemed more like melting than falling.
Oh, yeah.
It's an uncooked face, which is just gross.
Okay, so, Lisa.
Of course, I have to give the, hey, I know that guy, because
yeah,
about half of them I could say, I know that guy, but I don't know where from.
Sure.
And for the first room he did, the award for entering a room goes to Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Same scene, the Reload Your Guns Award. He did not reload that first scene.
Yeah, and then he made a point in the last scene to have the reloading moments.
Yeah.
Where they were like, look, I'm reloading really cool. Look, I'm going to reload really cool again. I'm like, now? Now you're going to bother to reload? Is that really how this goes? Yeah.
Which irritated me, but okay. Those are my three.
Carl?
I'm giving this movie the You Are Not Ray Bradbury Award. The You Are Not Ray Bradbury Award. He's the guy who wrote 451. And there's
an awesome YouTube video out there about him, but you can go find that on your own.
And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to give I'm giving all of the cops in this movie the Stormtrooper Award.
Yeah.
I could see that.
Yeah, and it's not the Stormtrooper Award for not being able to hit what they shoot at. It's the Stormtrooper Award for not fucking shooting.
Yeah.
And you never get to see any of their faces, so they all are pretty much exactly the same. And I'm pretty sure they were all voiced by the same person.
I'm pretty sure that they could be considered that for their costuming, too.
Yeah.
Except for it was black, not white.
Yeah, exactly.
I love the bomb collars they kept wearing.
Yeah.
And like those are my awards.
That's all of your awards?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay. I'm giving the Gun Kata the Ooh Showy Award. I'm giving Christian Bale the Oh My God, Look at That Eye Wart Award. It's going to drive me crazy. I can't watch a Christian Bale movie now without
focusing. I saw it at the beginning of this movie, and then I didn't ever see it again.
Okay. I am also giving the fight scene between Taye Diggs and Christian Bale the So This Is What Happens When Rent and Newsies Brawl Tarantino Style Award. And finally, I'm giving Taye Diggs the Face Off Award.
Definitely not giving Christian Bale any more drugs.
No. All right. And, The inevitable conclusion to Robert the Bruce Award that I'm just making up now, so I don't have a good name for it. But anyway, moving on into Where Are You Playing With Your Willy? Let's see here. Carl, would you like to start your questions?
Sure. Let's see. Okay, right after the raid, right after Bale comes off of his dose, he has a guy die in his arms. What color is that guy's eyes?
Oh, see, if you asked where his piercings were, I would have been able to tell you that.
I'm going with green.
I'm going with blue.
Hazel. Yeah, Lisa gets a point. No, they were blue. They're like bright blue, too.
See, I thought so, but I thought that's just too obvious. I'm wrong about that.
You do realize you asked that with somebody who has a thing for blue eyes, right?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Out of all the objects that we see in all of the little caches, there's only one animal. What animal do we see?
Like alive or dead?
Stuffed or live?
Yeah, like it's not it's a representation of an animal. You don't see the animal itself.
Oh. Because I was going to say the dog, but I don't think you were going for the live animals.
Yeah, that's what I was like, you mean the live, dog?
Not the dog.
The horse? I have a hobby horse in one of them.
I honestly don't know.
Rephrase that. We only see one picture of an animal. What animal is in the picture? How's that? Because I don't even remember there being a hobby horse, which is why I went the way I did the first time.
You were like, aw, damn.
Parrot. I don't know. I remember the horse, and that's a barely. Yeah.
Not a parrot. Scully?
Like a photograph picture or a drawing picture?
Drawing picture.
Oh, it was a goose.
Oh, yeah! From Mother Goose!
Yeah, my original question, which I reworded because it was too damn easy, was what book does Bale rescue from the fires?
Yeah.
Because that would have been too damn easy.
A green one.
It was Mother Goose.
Okay. So, Lisa.
When Christian Bale is standing outside Equilibrium building to get a to report the loss of his dose, what sector do they tell him to go to because that one's closed?
E.
6K.
3.
8A.
Wow.
And on this same building, same scene, what was the number? The number and lettering on the building?
I don't remember that.
I remember seeing Equilibrium carved into it, but I don't
remember. Yeah, that's all I saw.
It was off to the side, off to the right side.
I want to say 1B. Just to throw it out there.
Yeah, I'll go with 1C.
I really don't know.
You both had one right. However, it was E17.
Oh.
Gotcha.
All right, who's next?
I think all three of us have done.
No, I still have Billy has got nine.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what breed puppy is it?
The collie.
No, it's not.
It's a
Saint Bernard.
No, Lisa got it.
No,
yes, it's a Saint Bernard.
No, it's not. It specifically says in the trivia what it is.
Yeah, it does, and it's not a Saint Bernard.
Definitely not a collie.
No, it's not a collie. Oh, crap, that's going to bug me now because I saw it earlier.
I'm looking.
Okay, it looked like a Saint Bernard to me. That's why I answered that way.
I thought it was until I read the trivia.
One
Bernese
other
Mountain Dog.
Yeah, Bernese.
That's a Saint Bernese. Mountain Dog, yes. Mm-hmm. Saint Bernard are actually really, really close. Poundage off.
What?
Yeah, no, I can see. They're a big difference. All right, I'll scratch that one. What was the number of the unit that comes to get him when he goes to release a dog?
Wait. Shite.
Patrol 1.
Patrol 3.
Patrol 13.
No, 23. Mm. What were the 50 men, the guy who...
Wait.
Yeah.
Did you scratch the dog, or...
Yeah, I did. I scratched that one, because I had it written down wrong.
Okay.
The 50 men that he killed, that he didn't kill, but it was after he went off his dosage and they went to go raid.
Mm-hmm.
What was it that they were known for?
Oh, they bombed a, drug, factory.
No, these were the 50 men who had, there's like a history of what they did.
Yeah, they bombed a drug factory.
They bombed an the Equilibrium that was closed.
The Prolium or whatever the hell the name of the drug was, but they bombed a factory that produced it.
Wow, I need to turn on subtitles because it sounded like they'd started rosary factories.
No.
Which, considering they were literally like in the same area as the churches.
No. They had bombed the drug factory.
Wow.
So nice. I claim that point.
You actually can claim that one?
And yes, Scully, you do need to watch this with subtitles.
I didn't watch it with subtitles. I did have my headphones on, though.
Okay, so... I guess that means it's my turn.
Yeah, and we've all got a point. Except
nice.
For Rod.
Except for me. Okay, so... How many motorcycles were in the motorcade that picked John up in front of Equilibrium?
3.
Says the man who doesn't remember the motorcade.
Yeah.
4.
Scully? It was 2.
It was 2. Yeah. Scully got that one. Okay. I've got so many good questions here. What word was painted on the wall behind John during the pistol whip scene?
Oh, I don't know.
shit.
I barely remember.
I thought it was caution. Funny. Anybody else?
Hard hat area.
I'm gonna guess, because I have no idea. Freedom?
Danger.
Danger.
I thought it was ironically funny, so I wrote it down.
It is.
Okay.
Alright, so Scully wins.
Scully wins. We've got a two-way tie. Okay, I just want to throw this tiebreaker out there, just because I wrote this down thinking it'd be a funny question to ask.
Alright.
So, between Carl and Lisa, should he report Robbie Taylor?
Absolutely.
Unquestionably.
Carl got it. I thought that'd be a funny one to ask, so I wrote it down. Okay, so that leaves us with Scully. What is your audience question?
So what is the icon in the snow globe?
Oh, God. Seriously?
Come on!
You're going to make them watch that much of this movie?
Yes.
Okay.
But do you want me to... I can ask the other one, which is what is the music that he's listening to. He reads the vinyl. Are,
yeah. All right.
Okay, Carl.
Yeah, let's see. Damn it. Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to go with this because everything else is already gone. How many people do we see Kiss in this movie?
You actually paid that close enough attention for that?
I thought it was interesting. I thought the answer to that question was kind of interesting.
Fair enough. If it's like three, it's going to be weird. It's kind of like that thing about how there's an odd number of people who got married last year.
Yeah.
What? Anyway, okay, so Lisa, audience question.
What was the first thing that was not that was taken and not reported?
The chicken. The egg. Anyway, sorry. Okay. So that leaves my audience question. Which one do I want to use? You know what? I want to throw them both out there. You can answer either of them. What book was Partridge reading when he was killed? The entire title, please. And also, what two punishments are available for sense offenders? You can answer either or.
Nice.
And remember, answering any of those questions will get you mentioned on the air. Answering all of them will get you the $25 gift card of your choice to your choice of website. Now, unfortunately, due to some budget constraints, this will probably be the last episode that I'm able to do that contest for a little while, so we really need a winner for that.
Yeah.
That's alright, I'm okay with picking it up. So.
Oh, okay.
Hey, I already called dibs on the iTunes card.
No, she's willing to pay for the prize.
Oh. Yep. Okay.
Hey, by the way, there's now an actual website page where you can submit your questions on, so you don't have to just email Movies in the Buff. You can actually go onto the website and...
moviesinthebuff.com.
Yes, and it's under the games section, the Were You Playing? You can actually submit it there.
Now, has anyone actually checked to see if we have an answer from last week?
We don't have
email?
Any.
We don't have any on the email.
I do want to thank Scully for all the work that she has done on the Movies in the Buff website.
Yes,
thank you, Scully.
Beautiful. On top of that, I also want to say that for the next few weeks, and I'll talk to y'all after the show and find out, you know, how long we want to do that for. We'll go ahead and accept them through the email or through the website, just in case nobody hears us.
Oh, the website emails it.
Yeah, the website.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't mail to.
Fair enough. Never mind. Forget that I said anything. I have not talked nearly enough about how the site's working.
I've not been around. What it looks like.
I've seen it just barely. I've not been around people. I've been working this day job, and it's kicking my butt. But as far as time budgeting. So anyway, moving on into mental debuff, which Scully has won the right. Or no, I'm sorry.
No, Scully won the right.
Scully won the right to go first. I am getting confused now.
Now?
Yes. Yeah. Mental debuff. Don't tread on my dreams.
Don't tread on my dreams, because I have a dream that this will actually end someday, and I don't ever have to watch this again. Wow. And if I have to ask for the 100th time, what's the title of the movie we're watching again? Right before the show? That's a good sign that it wasn't that good.
And so, yet, she still won!
And also, yeah, no kidding. But also, apparently, after watching this movie, Scully was in the state of, I think I'm supposed to say something here. He liked it. Anyways, okay, so, Carl, Mental Diva.
Yeah. You forced me to watch this. Now can we stop talking about it so I can go scrub out my head with a healthy dose of Batman and Game of Thrones, please?
No, Game of Thrones is on season break.
I'll watch reruns. It's better than this. Shit, I would watch. I'd watch reruns of All in the Family and call it better than this.
Oh, I kid you not. Four different people. I could not remember Christian Bale's name. I told them, "Oh, we're watching. You know that guy that played Batman?" And it, immediately, Michael Keaton. Four different people.
Did it well. You should respond with, no, the one who did it well.
Michael Keaton played a pretty decent Batman. No, let's not go there.
Yeah, that's true.
For Christian Bale, he was the best one.
Yeah. And even still, I mean, Batman with throat cancer. It bothered me, okay? It does. It bothers me. Anyway. Okay, so, Lisa, Mental Debuff. Sorry about that.
Yay, we have a good action movie. No, we have talking. Oh, I saw Gunshot. Now we have more talking. Okay, I'm done. I'm going home. Good night.
I think we lost Rod.
No, we didn't. I'm just not really sure what to say after that.
Oh, okay.
We have dead air.
I think you have a rant written to say after that.
I do, and it is time for that. So moving on to Rod's rant. Let me plug little man's ears. Okay. I have often talked in my rants about emotionless acting. Well, Equilibrium is a film that not only contains emotionless acting, but it's quite literally written for it. And who better to cast in an emotionless film than Christian, I played a psycho once and now I have to prove I'm not crazy, Bale. I really want to make fun of Bale's abilities in this film, but aside from an insanely poor choreography, he was spot on. Sorry. Now, about this gun kata concept. It's a great film trick. It's like the old Chinese knife trick of moving your knives in circles to make it look like you're fighting. It's pretty, but not practical at all. If you want an example of the Chinese knife trick, go watch Under Siege. Anyways, the problem with a concept like gun kata is you have these nerd boys who think that Jedi is a legitimate form of martial art too, trying to mimic the concept. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no legitimate form of gun-fu. There are some excellent maneuvers and several military CQC manuals for working around guns in hand-to-hand. But I'm sorry, pimply-faced fanboys, the entire idea of gun kata is moot. Now that that's out of the way, this film has everything a good action film should. A plot full of holes. Seriously, I can't be the only one who noticed that. For people who aren't supposed to feel, they're feeling an awful lot. Exciting and overly showy fight scenes, and even a goddamn hero in white. Holy shit, that was a new level of funny. When you think about it, still, the major issue I had with this film is Christian Bale's eye wart. They even zoomed in on the fucking thing. You can't unsee that. It will bug you in every movie you see him in from now on. You're welcome. Now share my pain! And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's rants.
I don't want to share your pain.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
I have enough of my own.
Yeah, I was kind of trying to go for the, you know, losing it towards the end thing. It didn't work out. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. You know, kind of like this movie.
This movie lost at the very beginning.
Yeah.
No, I was going for the whole, you know, you're supposed to be emotionless and then, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so, next week, Safe.
Yes.
Safe?
That's the name of the movie.
I don't even remember this movie.
Nobody remembers this movie. And that's because it's a relatively new, Jason Statham film. I'm not really sure what it's about, but I'm pretty sure it's just a Jason Statham film.
Probably.
Because that's what Jason Statham films are. Anybody have any insight to save? Because I've never really heard anything about it ever.
I've never read it. I may have seen parts of this. I can't remember.
As far as I can tell, it's Jason Statham's paycheck in between Expendables.
Yeah. Well, they're reading the synopsis on IMDb reminds me of Mercury Rising. Okay. So I'm wanting to say that it's probably going to be Jason Statham's Mercury Rising.
Gotcha. That doesn't sound terrible at all.
Yeah, because, you know, the original one wasn't terrible in the first place.
No kidding. But, I mean, you know, what do you expect? So, join us next week for Jason Statham and Mercury Rising. And until then, keep watching those movies in the buff. It's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Night.
Good night.
Hey, buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com. And like us on Facebook and Google+, or follow us on Twitter at Movies in the Buff. You can also follow your team at debauchery, me at Rod the Golden.
At Scully44.
At Kith Kanan.
And at A Corner Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at Stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
attribution,
non-commercial,
no derivatives,
3.0 US license.